EBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. People around the world marking almost 1 year since Hamas attacked Israel. Events this weekend throughout the country. In New York, Peter Rabinowitz wearing a necklace given to him by a friend who survived the October 7th attack.
It's a sign of the amazing resilience of the people who lived along the border, a sign of the hope that there will be better days.
In Detroit, one of several cities where pro-Palestinian demonstrators were on the street calling for an end to the bloodshed. Today, Palestinian officials say 19 people died in an Israeli strike on a mosque. Hurricane Helene and its aftermath now blamed for at least 227 deaths as Vice President Kamala Harris was in hard-hit North Carolina for a briefing on recovery operations. And another storm is gearing up to hit Florida. Tropical storm Milton forecast to strengthen into a hurricane. And former President Trump returned to Butler, Pennsylvania, the same site where he was injured in a July shooting. This is ABC. The Supreme Court convenes tomorrow for a new term, with the justices expected to weigh cases that involve a range of topics, including ghost guns. And ABC Stephen Portnoy says they'll consider another gun issue, a suit against manufacturers.
Smith & Wesson, Beretta, Colt, and Glock are among the firms hoping the Supreme Court blocks the Mexican government's lawsuit. The $10 billion claim filed in Massachusetts federal court is based on the idea that the companies knew their guns were being sold to traffickers to smuggle them into Mexico. The firms insist they've operated legally and that the case has no business in American courts. Mexican authorities say 70% of the weapons that flow into their country come from the U.S.
Affordable housing could be getting scarce, as an Associated Press study found as many as 223,000 affordable housing units could disappear in the U.S. in the next 5 years because a 30-year federal affordability requirement is set to expire for a wave of those buildings. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you know that these days, generating growth is a challenge. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll not just stay ahead of the curve, you'll move it. With access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter, locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2024 Bank of America N.A.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. A program that helps cover the cost of replacing polluted wells is popular in Wisconsin, but officials say more permanent changes are needed. Mike Moan reports.
Running your kitchen faucet and suspecting the water is contaminated can be a scary thought. Tom Van Lowe and his wife live in a farming community in Marathon County. Their property is surrounded by cropland. Van Lowe says over time they had a buildup of nitrates in their well, with test results eventually showing excessive levels. County officials helped them apply for aid through the State Well Compensation Grant Program, which funded a reverse osmosis system. That was a lifesaver for the couple.
We knew for years that we were drinking contaminated water, so it gave us a lot of peace of mind.
Venlo says they likely wouldn't have been able to afford the roughly $12,000 cost, and they no longer have to stock up on bottled water. Agencies and assistance groups report waiting lists for these grants, saying eligibility is pretty restrictive. Chase Cummings of the Dunn County Environmental Services Department says that existing eligibility requirements for the well compensation program make it hard for people to clean up their drinking water.
Nitrate concentrations must exceed 40 parts per million. The health standard is 10 parts per million. So you'd have to have a very high nitrate concentration in your private well. And if you were to use the current well comp program eligibility, we would have one individual eligible.
That puts many other property owners in a bind because they don't qualify. Cummings says county governments are being more intentional about careful land use. That includes working with farmers to adopt conservation practices so that lower levels of nitrate find their way to surrounding water sources. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Sunshine, then just a few clouds rolling in during the afternoon. Gusty northwest winds, which will increase and gust up over 30 miles per hour. Highs of the lower 60s. For tonight, mostly clear skies developing. Lows will drop to the upper 30s. Right now, it's 55.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll look back at the weekend happenings news-wise and also a little sports and get you ready for the week ahead. Don't miss it. Join us right here on Civic Media.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up!
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut a game.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive. Because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Which means distant thunder. Hey, Cudahy Wee, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by JS Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
Hey, we have a privilege to be here in Minnesota and then also part of the Civic Media Network out there in Wisconsin. And I feel blessed that we get a weekly update from the governor of Wisconsin, Haley. And so why don't we take a quick listen before we get to our guest. Ho-wah.
Hey there, Native Roots Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update. Here in Wisconsin, we're fortunate to have all four seasons, each one more beautiful than the last. So it's no wonder why we've seen back-to-back record-breaking years for Wisconsin tourism. And fall is one of the best times of year to get out and explore. Whether it's hiking in one of our beautiful state parks to see the fall colors, tailgating at Lambeau, strolling a local harvest festival, or visiting a pumpkin patch, apple orchard, or corn maze at one of our local family-owned farms, there's no shortage of ways to enjoy fall in Wisconsin. The fall tourism season is also an important economic engine for our state, especially for agricultural tourism, providing income for family farms and small businesses during the off-season and generating millions of dollars for our tourism industry. And this year, we're excited to have even more to offer at four NFL draft-themed corn mazes that celebrate our rich agricultural history and our excitement as we gear up to host the 2025 NFL Draft. Here in Wisconsin, farming and football are part of our DNA, and we wear our title of America's Dairyland and our cheese heads with pride. So we're encouraging everyone to get out there this fall to check out these corn mazes and all the amazing opportunities we have for agriculture tourism in the state. You can also check out Travel Wisconsin's annual Fall Color Report online to track the fall colors and plan your next adventure. So have fun. Get out there and support our local farmers and producers this fall, and take care, folks. Thank you. Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio.
Hey, thank you, Governor Evers, for that report. I also, before we get to our guest here, Robert Lilligren, I want to give Dr. Stately a quick shout out. It's his birthday. Happy birthday, Dr. Stately.
Yeah. And
yeah, definitely. I should hit the applause button here.
Yeah, Ho Chene Honk Kibeske.
Right on. There you go, Haley. Hey, we are here with Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute, White Earth Citizen, Ojibwe, and we don't hold that against him. And it's great to have him on the show as always. And just to chit-chat, it was good to see you, even very frequently, very quickly today. We were both heading towards meetings.
Yeah. Bonjour, Haley. Bonjour, Robert. So good to be here. Thanks for your graciousness and not holding my Ojibwe identity against me. I realize I'm a little outnumbered here.
Just today.
Yeah, it was good to see you in Crossing today. Of course, it was Native American Community Development Institute, or NACDI's, Four Sisters Farmers Market Day. And it was a great day for the market. So good to see you there.
Yeah, a lot of people. And we had a Ho-Chunk doing a food thing and showing us how to pickle stuff, and I like the watermelon pickle the best.
Oh, nice. I didn't get to try that, unfortunately, but I did get to judge the pickle contest last Thursday at the Four Sisters Farmers Market, which was a great event. And you know, we have a couple of initiatives at NACDI under our food sovereignty, Four Sisters. We have the Farmers Market and we have an urban farm, and it's about food sovereignty and educating our community about healthy food and healthy eating habits. And a theme this season has been preservation. So there's been a whole schedule of preservation classes and trainings at the market, which I just think is such a great thing.
And also the market is spearheaded by a Ho-Chunk. Ho-wa.
Right. Destiny Jones, our market manager, and she just does a great job. And she has really grown the market in scope, and now we're kind of almost too big, right, for our little tiny parking lot. So it's a good problem to have, but we're trying to figure out how to be able to continue expanding the market to increase food access in our community and to give entrepreneurs and vendors space.
Yeah, I like the big idea of a big tent in that parking lot once a month.
Yeah, and I think you probably during our open house, you've seen it. With a big tent set up, it's kind of cool in that space. But yeah, maybe we just need a new, bigger building.
Yeah. Hey, there you go. I smell an initiative here and some a gala or sorts coming up. Yeah.
Well, we shall see. But just since you brought it up, you know, NACDI purchased that building with our partner, American Indian Community Development Corporation, to redevelop the site. And you know, we've had a couple of dips in the economy since we purchased it. They kind of put the redevelopment farther off on the horizon, and now we're really still in contemplation and communication with the community about what to do with the building. And it's, you know, it's this tiny little building. It gets totally, every square foot gets put to use by but it's kind of become a community center, right? And almost a little bit of a landmark on the American Indian Cultural Corridor. So I was like, oh, do we want to keep this building and maybe look for another one? Or we shall see. It's good to have options.
That is good to have options. And it has grown to the place to be. I know people from all over Turtle Island come to not only Franklin Avenue, but the coffee shop and the gallery. And you know, I see selfies of people that are kind of famous and I get, you know, FOMO.
Yeah, no, it's really something. Especially our Powell Grounds Coffee Shop. It's a well-established community hub. It's so great. Our offices are right off the coffee shop. And I got to tell you guys how often I'll be sitting in the office and think, oh, I really need to talk to this person in the community, and look out in the coffee shop. There they are. Right. Yeah. So it's such a benefit. And then our little gallery, so high profile. This last week, we hosted last Friday, visitors from a National Association of Native Elected State Legislators. So they're from all across Turtle Island and Hawaii as well. But they came to our gallery. Senator Mary Kunesh from Minnesota, a Native sister, was the host. She connected us, but it was just wonderful to talk about the work of NACDI and the work of the community here to this national audience.
Yeah, you know, part of your work and others' work in the community, really, when I'm out and about on my other job, Robert, I'm really proud to talk about what happens here in Minneapolis and St. Paul and surrounding areas, and how the nations are get along with each other and support each other. And that's something fairly new and really exciting, and you're a big part of that.
Oh, that's very kind. And I love that you brought that up, Robert. And we've been very deliberate here to kind of shed the yoke of colonization that wants Native people and Native organizations, tribes for that matter, to view each other as enemies and competitors for resources and competitors for service populations. And we've put effort into being collaborative. That's one of the things I talk to these state legislators about.
Absolutely. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, and we're going to take a quick break here. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
A little TLC is about to go a long way for a boardwalk bridging Kaukauna to the Fox River. The Nelson Family Fund giving the city a $240,000 grant. It will be used to replace more than 2,700 feet of the 1,000 Islands Environmental Center boardwalk. And there's a lot of work planned.
The replacement of the boardwalk itself, it's aging, we have sagging spots. But what that will do is it's going to shore it up, it's going to raise the entire boardwalk up off the ground level.
That's the center naturalist, Brad Garrity. They call the area a beautiful destination, and with these upgrades, it will also be safer and more accessible to all by early next year. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we're here with our friend Robert Lilligren. And Robert, before we get down and dirty here with politics, let's talk a little bit. I'd love to talk a little bit about Met Council. And I don't know if you heard that last spot.
I did. I was kind of surprised. I'm glad to see they're spreading the love at Met Council.
Right, right. Well, and talk about the project. It's exciting, and I know a little bit about it, but you're one of the people that are making things happen in here in the Seven County area.
Well, as are you. So, but it was really good to hear. So the Metropolitan Council is our regional governance body. It's a 16-member body plus a chair appointed by the governor, by our Governor Waltz. To manage the region, the big things that we run, the transit system, wastewater system, fund and plan for parks and open spaces and housing. And we are the planning agency for the region. So as you heard in that PSA, every 10 years, we do our 20-year plan. So right now we're planning our 2050 comprehensive plan. As you heard, it's branded Imagine 2050. So the committee that I chair at Met Council, Community Development Committee, is the hub of the planning efforts across the enterprise. So I've been buried in 2050 for maybe the last 6-9 months. So it's good to hear it being kind of taken out in the public. And mm-hmm. I think, Robert, what you're talking about is the efforts that we've done at the Met Council to center Native voices and Native priorities and Native perspectives in our regional planning. And Robert Pilot was the Ho-Chunk representative on our advisory council, our American Indian Advisory Council. Great work to the whole council. So we had a Ho-Chunk rep, an Ojibwe rep. But then predominantly it was Dakota and Lakota people. That's whose land we're on. Mm-hmm. And you guys knocked it out of the park. Your report and your recommendations were so thoughtful and so thorough that they've been incredibly well received within the policymakers and the senior leadership of the Metropolitan Council. We're already attaching them not just to the 2050 plan, but to 2025 budgets and initiatives. Mm-hmm. And our commitment, my commitment, is that we will be able to show not just the community, but the incredibly high caliber people who are on the advisory committee, that we heard you and we are taking action. That was the first thing this group told us. We don't want acknowledgement. We want commitments and action. So that is what you will see.
It's exciting being part of that. And before we get into politics, there was just that one. I think we talked about this before, but during our meetings, they'd bring different parts of, of the, I don't want to say government, but parts of the Met Council in. And I had no idea that they had so much to do with sewage. And we were talking about that in the presentation. I mean, all these presentations blew my mind about what the Met Council does. But also talking about there was three fish alive in the 1930s, between St. Paul and Minneapolis. And then they kind of said, well, when they counted that third fish, it really was two because the third one died. And that's how bad the raw sewage was back then. And heck, I'll swim in the Mississippi now before a Bedote.
Yeah, Met Council has done great work. The city of Minneapolis as well. Water is actually cleaner when it leaves the city of Minneapolis than when it enters it. So, so the massive regional wastewater system is under Met Council's control. It's a fee for service, so it doesn't take any sort of taxpayer dollars. It's one of the best run sewage treatment systems in the country, and it's kind of an untold story. I guess people just like to talk about effluence, but it's a fact of life.
Yeah, it was interesting, and it's very interesting, and it's we're blessed to have Allison working with the Met Council that's got all these really big leaders involved with the Met Council now from the Native community, and I feel blessed just to be on those coattails.
Yeah, no, you're an integral part, and Allison Wachow is our Native Relations and Tribal Relations staffer, brought on specifically to do this work. She's incredible. Just incredible at the work, but the group was really incredible. And one of the things, and I brought this up in different forums recently, and the Met Council members and senior leadership have embraced this work, and they understand the importance of it, and they understand the importance of action and commitment. And I'm so used when we first started presenting this work to Met Council and committees, I had all my arguments written down that I always have to kind of push forward in a conversation like this. And my council colleagues were jumping in and saying, well, what about this? And pushing one of my points, or we should try this, or we should do this. And I was just, I had to say to them, I go, look, you guys got to realize I'm used to being the only one saying these things in the room, And so it's a different day. And I think it is an acknowledgement that it is a different day. So how do we leverage this? How do we leverage this for progress for the community?
It's funny, the 6 or 7 years you've been on the show, Robert, I think we have been talking about this change in slowly but surely, from you not knowing the Indian kids that you went to high school with that appeared to now that we're loud and proud and we're getting our, the seat at the table.
Right. I agree, Robert. And then to see that impact beyond the Native community, right? I mean, I'm sitting on a deliberative policymaking body of 17 people, and I'm the only Native there. And so to hear these non-Native colleagues bringing up our issues with our perspective, it's amazingly refreshing. And it's not, not all problems are solved. I get that. There's lots of work to be done. But it feels like what I've been banging my head against this wall for, 30, 40 years. And to feel the wall actually move a little, it's like, oh, that actually feels good.
Wow. Yeah, just a big applause to you. And And people that are listening to the show and watching the show on Facebook and YouTube, Robert's the real deal, and I get to go down to a Native American Community Development Institute and see everybody in action. So it's fun. It's a family. It's welcoming, and there's a lot of work getting done.
Yep. Everyone, welcome to Stop Down. Visit Powwow Grounds Coffee Shop. Visit All My Relations Arts Gallery. Visit the American Indian Culture Corridor. See our gorgeous, newly remodeled Indian Center. It's amazing.
All right. Well, we got like 4 minutes here. Let's talk about the what's happening here. I know our friends in Wisconsin that listen to the show. You only need 3 people in each district to put this over in a good way. And so every vote counts. And we know that here in Minnesota and all over Turtle Island.
Yep, and those numbers, those 3 votes per district, 5 votes per district, those are consistent in a lot of states. So that means people listening, Native community members, friends, allies, bring 2 people with you to the polls, right? And you're amplifying your vote. NACD has a project called Make Voting a Tradition. And it's a year-round, multi-generational engagement effort, but of course around elections. It's about getting people registered, getting people to vote. That's our primary focus. And we're part of what's a 5-state strategy, where there are 5 states where the Native votes are enough to swing the statewide election. And so we're working in collaboration with several other states nationally. In 2020, we were part of then a 7-state strategy, the same approach. And 2 of the states actually flipped because of the Native vote.
Yes.
Arizona and I think it was Michigan, but don't quote me on that. But
Arizona, I think it was. That's amazing.
So, you know, we're not huge in numbers, but we're a critical part of the electorate. We're a swing electorate, and that's power, right? That's building political power that we can exercise.
Yeah, great work. And so what we got a couple minutes here. It was interesting watching the debate and listening to the debate and hearing a lot of non-answers, Harvard kind of mumbo jumbo lawyer stuff, and then Walls coming off as the person that he is.
Right. I thought he came off as very genuine. You know, Vance was lying. I mean, just outright lying. Trump saved Obamacare and things like that. And then they dig in. I just thought it was interesting that they dig into some bombastic exaggerations that Waltz made 10 or more years ago and had to drill into those, like somehow he's a dishonest guy, and you have this other guy just lying every other sentence, you know? It's like, okay, this doesn't feel quite what balanced or equitable, but yeah.
I've been known to be a 10-frame bowler, you know, get those last 3 strikes there and pull off a good game. And I think Waltz did when he mentioned well, was the election real or not? And he wouldn't answer it.
Right. Well, he has answered. No, he was on a conservative blog or podcast, I think. And he said, did Trump win the election? Yes. J.D. Vance said, straight up, yes, he won the 2020 election. So, I mean, what do you even do with that, right? If someone can't even base themselves in fact and reality.
Well, my problem is when I came back from New York, we only got a minute left. My problem was that I have a cab driver telling me that what has Harris done? And I'm going, Harris was the vice president. You're getting really confused.
Right. Well, and she was a tiebreaker in the Senate, right? So I'm surprised they don't lift that up more. Because of her, we have better laws in this country.
Absolutely. Hey, Robert, thank you. I know you're a little under the weather there, and I really appreciate you coming on. It's great. Always great seeing you and talking to you on Native Roots Radio.
Great to see you. Thanks.
All right. Hey, what do we got up next, Haley?
Hey, we're going to talk to Rachel Karshung from Strongheart's Native Helpline.
We'll be right back. Ho-wa.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. People around the world marking almost 1 year since Hamas attacked Israel. Events this weekend throughout the country. In New York, Peter Rabinowitz wearing a necklace given to him by a friend who survived the October 7th attack.
It's a sign of the amazing resilience of the people who lived along the border, a sign of the hope that there will be better days.
In Detroit, one of several cities where pro-Palestinian demonstrators were on the street calling for an end to the bloodshed. Today, Palestinian officials say 19 people died in an Israeli strike on a mosque. Hurricane Helene and its aftermath now blamed for at least 227 deaths as Vice President Kamala Harris was in hard-hit North Carolina for a briefing on recovery operations. And another storm is gearing up to hit Florida. Tropical storm Milton forecast to strengthen into a hurricane. And former President Trump returned to Butler, Pennsylvania, the same site where he was injured in a July shooting. This is ABC.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Pack looks to bounce back. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska filling in for Mike Clements for Civic Media Sports. The Green Bay Packers take on the LA Rams this afternoon. Green Bay will be without wide receiver Romeo Doubs, who is suspended for one game for conduct detrimental to the team. Jordan Love will make his second start since spraining his MCL in the season opener. Kickoff is after 3 p.m. You can hear the game on WRJN, WRCO, and WCQM on the Civic Media Network. Other NFL games today include the Vikings and Jets in London, and the Bears taking on the Falcons. In college football, the Badgers beat Purdue 52-6 yesterday. Wisconsin piled up 589 yards of offense, and Braden Locke became the first Badgers quarterback to throw for 300 yards in a game in 9 years. The Badgers will play at Rutgers this Saturday. And now that training camp is done, the Milwaukee Bucks will begin preseason play tonight against the Detroit Pistons. Tip-off is set for 7 p.m. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Sunshine, then just a few clouds rolling in during the afternoon. Gusty northwest winds, which will increase and gust up over 30 miles per hour. Highs of the lower 60s. For tonight, mostly clear skies developing. Lows will drop to the upper 30s. Right now, it's 55.
Farmers in Wisconsin have always been ahead of the times, and it's no different in the mid-1800s. George Esterly was running a large wheat farm outside of Whitewater, but reaping his crop by hand was back-breaking work. Esterly invented a mechanical harvesting machine and used it in his own fields in 1844. He then won a Chicago Mechanics Gold Medal 4 years later. But was he the first in the country to build a harvesting machine? The answer is coming up. Esterly followed up his win by opening a factory in the Whitewater area, building the harvesting machines and eventually other farm equipment too. By the 1880s, 500 people worked there. So was Esterly the first in the country to build a new mechanical harvesting machine? Yes, this man's early farm invention lives on as a remarkable slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Congresswoman Summer Lee.
The American Stability Act doesn't just address the need for raising of the wage. The second thing is that tax reform piece, shifting the burden from the folks who are working class to the not just the 1%, the 0.01% of people who have seen so many benefits in this rigged system, and we have to start to unrig it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, Mr. Ethics, Gen Xer, and Gemini Scott Ross joins me. Plus, who is really diverting money from FEMA? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Strong Hearts Native Helpline. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and Strong Hearts offers culturally appropriate support and advocacy. Call or text them at 1-844-7-NATIVE. That's 1-844-762-8483, or chat online at strongheartshelpline.org.
Hey, as Haley just said, we're in the beginning of Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and we'll be talking with the Strong Hearts Deputy Executive Officer, Rachel Karjunk. And Rachel is a tribal citizen of Sault Ste. Marie Tribe and Chippewa Indians, and has more than a decade of experience working in the field of gender-based violence within Indian country, and has been working to support the services department for Strong Hearts, which has been operated for more than seven years. I want to just say hello and welcome back, Rachel.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
This is great. And I always like to bring up the fact that I think Strong Hearts has been around. This is their eighth season, and they started the same time Native Roots Radio started. And I remember that it was a kind of a 5 day a week business hours kind of thing in the beginning, and it's really expanded into a powerhouse organization that I know they run ads in the Wodok, which is Ho-Chunk magazine, our tribal magazine, and things like that. And it's great to see. And I think I ran into a couple people a couple of years ago at that big powwow down. What the heck is that powwow called? The biggest powwow. The Gatherings of the Nations. I ran into Strong Hearts down there, which I thought was just great. And we're really happy to have you on again, Rachel, and talk about things.
Yes, thank you. I just started back in late February. So I'm still pretty new to the organization. And I consider Strong Hearts a pretty young organization, right? But we have experienced some major growth. You know, you referenced we started off, you know, in a small limited hours, 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. And thankfully we're at the place where we can, you know, operate 24/7. Right. And we have, you know, we operate every day of the week, holidays, nights, weekends, because we know that violence occurs at any given moment in our communities.
Exactly. Before I get to the questions, I, one of the things that I've always taken away with our last conversation is how important your service is. And to my heart too, where you can find help for people with pets. That just warms my heart, because that's always a big obstacle in people's minds. So I just want to say a big peeny geegee and thank you for that. And that's an amazing thing. But let's talk a little bit about the misconceptions about domestic violence, because there's so many different kinds.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the biggest misconceptions about domestic violence is, of course, that, you know, it has to include physical violence, right? That's our advocates here. I wasn't, you know, punched, I wasn't slapped, I wasn't kicked. So I don't really know if that's domestic violence. But we're able to, you know, our advocates provide a lot of DV education around what is domestic violence, right? It's important, especially during Domestic Violence Awareness Month, to talk about, you know, what is domestic violence? Let's name it for what it is. Let's define it. So domestic violence is a pattern of abusive behavior in any relationship that is used by one partner to gain and maintain power and control over the other partner. And so the way that abusive people use these tactics doesn't always include physical violence. Now, sometimes it does, of course, but there are other forms of, you know, abusive tactics that are used to maintain that power and control. And that can be emotional abuse, psychological abuse, financial abuse, technology abuse. Really all of those things kind of are able to, you know, maintain or gain that power over one intimate partner. And so that's something that our advocates can do, you know, when someone's experiencing or think they might consider themselves to be victims, or they know that they're experiencing something. And so they can give us a call, and, you know, our advocates can walk them through, talk them through what are they experiencing, what are their feelings around that, really validate them. And, you know, sometimes it is just talking, right? Sometimes it's, maybe they're not ready to safety plan yet. Maybe they're not ready to leave their abusive relationship. Maybe they just need someone to talk to. So, you know, we're here for all aspects for when our contacts reach out and need us.
Hey, can you tell us a little bit what your organization has planned for this month to bring awareness to this very, very important issue?
I'd love to. So we are actually having a community chat. So we've in the past have had several community chats around different topics. And of course, to celebrate Domestic Violence Awareness Month, we're going to focus our community chat around Breaking the Cycle Happens in Community. So we're having that on October 16th at 2 p.m. Central. Thank you so much. It's going to be broadcasted on our Zoom platform, and then it'll be available on our YouTube page at a later date. And so, like I said, we've hosted a couple community chats already, and we get really good feedback and really good community input from all across Indian country. And so for this particular community chat, like I said, we're gonna talk about domestic violence. We're gonna talk about some of those misconceptions. And then we're really gonna talk about, you know, how much of a crucial role it is that communities and individuals play in addressing and preventing domestic violence. Yeah, and so actually you can also go on our website. We have a link on our website on our homepage. If you scroll down just a little bit, it's under DVAM community chat, and you can register there as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. You mentioned your campaign and the Breaking the Cycle Happens in the Community. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, so I mean, I think there's so many ways that, you know, what we mean by that. And I think one of the first things is, of course, like having conversations like this, right? Raising awareness around what is domestic violence. We really need to like name it for what it is. And then, you know, understand how frequently our relatives are impacted by it. As Native Americans, we face some of the highest rates of domestic violence and intimate partner violence. It's like more than 4 in 5 Native Americans will experience intimate partner violence in their lifetime, like 84%. Wow. That's astounding. So that's something that, you know, we raise and we want more and more people to talk about. And then we have to consider ways that we can help victim survivors who are going through it, right? So I'm really excited for the community chat because we're going to actually go into some actionable steps that people as community members, as individuals can take to you know, be that support system to someone who's experiencing domestic violence.
Wow. Can you give an example of that? Action steps. There we go. Actionable.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think one of the, you know, most critical, I mean, there's so many good, helpful things that we're going to go through, but I think the most important, or one of the most important, is really knowing what's available, knowing what resources are out there that survivors can access. And of course, one of those resources is Strong Hearts Native Helpline. You know, we're available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're confidential, we're anonymous, we're empowerment based, right? And, you know, we're trauma informed, and not just trauma informed in the way that, you know, there's that acute trauma that happens, but we're also historical trauma informed, right? So we understand what it means to be impacted by, you know, blood memory, stuff that you can't really describe unless it's in your DNA, it's in your history, right? And then, of course, we're culturally honoring. All of our 100% of our advocates are Native American. And so we know how important it is when you're seeking help and seeking, you know, assistance or support, how important it is to have someone on the other end of that phone or text or chat to be able to say, you know, we have some shared identity, some shared values. You know, we hold very highly trust and culture and interrelatedness. So I think that those are, you know, as a resource, it's really helpful for folks to know about us so that if they have a relative who's experiencing it, they can say, hey, you can reach out to Strong Hearts Native Helpline if you want someone to talk to about this.
And we talked about this too before, Rachel, and I think one of the things I take away from our conversation is how important, well, first off, how small Indian country is. So how important it is to talk to somebody that doesn't know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody.
Exactly. I mean, I come from a small, my tribe is very large, but it's still Indian country small. My tribal community still feels small. I can walk into my IHS clinic and I'm related to a good amount of people in that waiting room. So, you know, if our DV services are located in our public governmental buildings or our law enforcement buildings or what have you, you know, you run the risk of running into someone you know in a time of crisis, in a time of, you know, where you want it to be private and confidential. And so that's something that, you know, we really you know, hold highly as a value of ours, that we are anonymous and we are confidential, and you can reach out to us. And if you want to get, you know, referred to a direct service provider, that's something that we have access to do. We can do warm handoffs and things like that. We can share information, but it's not required, right? Like we're going to meet the survivor where they're at. If they just want to talk, let's talk. If you want, you know, if you're ready to access services and, you know, you're in a certain area and we can try to point you in that direction, we're going to do that too, if that's what you're comfortable with.
I think it's so important to talk to somebody, because I know, you know, it's hard for you to believe, but I get stress. And if I talk it through and I can hear it myself when I'm talking to another human being, whether it's on the phone or wherever, that it either puts it in perspective that it's a big deal or it's not a big deal, or I do need help. And that's so important for Strong Hearts helpline to be there.
Yeah. You know, like I said, you know, we are, our advocates are very, you know, trained in the tactics of domestic violence and what that looks like and how it can look for people in all walks of life. And to know that you can reach out to us and we're not going to not believe you. We're going to, you know, validate what you're saying. And a lot of the times people, you know, are like, oh man, I just feel like I'm going crazy. I feel like, is this happening? Like it takes really kind of unraveling it all and talking through with someone, some of those, that DV education that really helps support people in understanding where they're at in their victimization and where they're at in you know, reaching that survivor thriver type mentality.
Well, and seeing that we're on the radio, Haley, I wondered, we're going to take a quick break here. If you can just pop out the helpline again and the number, and people can jot it down or pull over and jot it down or write it down. I wonder if you could do that while we're about to take a break.
Yeah, so Strong Hearts Native Helpline is 24/7. You can call or text 1-844-7-NATIVE. That's 1-844-762-8483. Or chat anonymously on stronghearts helpline.org.
Hey, we're going to be right back with Rachel Karshank, Strong Hearts Native Helpline. We'll be right back after this short break.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on Air.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute, and today I've got some good news about prices, especially at the pump. Gas prices are the lowest that they've been in years right now. The statewide average in Wisconsin is about $3.02 a gallon, and there are 10 counties, including Eau Claire and Sheboygan, where the average price at the pump is under $3. Gas prices have been heading south since this summer when Biden and Harris released a million barrels of oil from one of our big reserves to help us avoid a summer gas price surge. And I am all for doing whatever we can to keep gas prices down. So I don't want to hear any more of this talk about tariff taxes on imports. Half our gas comes from overseas. I can't afford to pay more for that. Let's keep our gas prices down. For more Everyday Money news, check out Work Money Media on YouTube or text MONEY, M-O-N-E-Y, to 88285. That's MONEY to 88285. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Nice.
That's pretty good. Hey, we are back here, and we are with Rachel Karshank, Strong Hearts Native Helpline Deputy Executive Officer. And it's been a really, it's always great to celebrate your organization and come on here and talk about real things and in a real way. So I was wondering, is there anything else you want to cover in our interview before we get going here? This is a shorter segment, and I want to make sure that you have opportunity to speak your truth and Strong Hearts Native Helpline's truth.
Yeah, so you know, it's we want to remind everyone that, you know, if you're not ready right now to call, text, or chat, you know, you're not ready to talk about your own experience with violence, or maybe, you know, you have a relative and they don't feel like they're ready to talk or reach out, you can still, you know, check out our website, check out our social media. We have a lot of great, you know, articles and resources available online to support survivors, even if they're not at that point where they want to chat and talk through some of their victimization. Another thing is that, you know, we do a lot of education around not just domestic violence or our services, but other things that impact victimization in Indian country. So we talk about jurisdiction, we talk about historical trauma. You know, a lot of times we can come out to communities and provide presentations. We can do virtual presentations, interviews like this, conversations like this. You know, reach out to us, check out our website. You can, you know, there's ways to contact us that's not through the line if you're not, you know, at that point where you want to do that. And so, like I said, reach out to us, follow us on social media, share our stuff. You know, talking about domestic violence, we need to normalize it because it is so pervasive in our communities.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, what great work Strong Hearts does and the communities that help our victims. And that was a staggering percentage that you brought up with us Native people. What was 84.5% of us have had.
And the reality is I think that's probably small. I think that's in my experience, you know, I don't know a Native person or family that hasn't experienced violence in the home in some way. So, you know, the reality is that it has such significant impacts in our communities, in our families, and to us as individuals, right? And so having organizations like Strong Hearts Native Helpline, having organizations that are, you know, culturally honoring and responsive to our victimization, I think is so important, and something that we continue to have to, you know, uplift and really elevate so that we can get to a point where we can eradicate this violence and be in a place of healing and culture and community support for one another.
Yeah, I believe Strong Hearts is a cycle breaker and in helping curate that and helping our community. That it's just amazing work. And every year that we talk, it's just I get emotional because it's great work, and you're still here and you're still helping people. And that's huge. That's huge for our community, but also it shows the integrity that your organization has.
Yes. You know, like I know that we've experienced a lot of great growth. We've gone from that limited hours to full 24/7, but there's still so much work to do. And we recognize that. So, you know, we're always looking for ways that we can continue to spread the message, you know, share information about our services. And also, you know, we have a database, we have a Native provider database, so that when callers or contacts call us and, you know, they are ready to seek shelter or seek legal advocacy, we can try to point them in the right direction for that if that's what they want. So, you know, we have that awareness and DV education piece, but we also have, you know, actual direct resources to be able to support folks when they are ready to leave, because it's a difficult transition to make. You know, experiencing violence, it's not easy. This is not an easy thing to escape and you know, respond to. And everyone is at different places in that. And so we really recognize that. We're really victim-centered, trauma-informed, Native-centered. And so, like I said, reach out if you're experiencing, or if you think you're experiencing domestic violence, or if you have a relative who's experiencing, or even if you use violence, right? We'll talk to you. We'll talk to you about what is abusive, what are some of these abusive tactics? What, you know, what's a healthy relationship compared to an unhealthy relationship? So we really want to get the message out that, you know, we're here to support our relatives in fighting this crisis of domestic violence in our communities.
Well, and to amplify what you said earlier too, it comes in so many different forms. And you know, emotional abuse, it's hard for the partner to reach out because of what has been said to them for a long time to make them believe they're worthless or whatever. Absolutely. And we got to talk about those other forms of abuse too, right?
Oh yeah, I mean there's so much. There's isolation tactics, right? There's name calling. I emotional abuse, emotional wounds are sometimes worse than the physical, right? The physical wounds can fade. The emotional wounds really, really stay in there. It's really important to understand that domestic violence has all of those different pieces, and that impacts how people access services, how they form relationships with one another, how they maintain relationships, how they cope, right, with everyday stressors. So when you're dealing with domestic violence and then you've got all these other different stressors in life, it makes it extremely difficult. And, you know, our advocates are trained and ready to talk and talk through some of these things and really listen and validate our callers.
Yeah. You know, there's a 12-step program called ALITAT, and their first step is something's wrong. And if you feel that something's wrong, check it out. Give Strong Hearts a call, and see if you feel like something is wrong, and they can talk you through it and listen.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's really it. We're, you know, we make that contact, or we respond to that contact, and we really let the survivor kind of, you know, tell us where they want to go. Do they just want to talk? Do they just want to explain their situation and maybe feel like, you know, they're not alone in this situation? Do they want to have help with safety planning? We can do that as well. Do they want to direct connect to a legal advocate somewhere in their community or, you know, close to their community? We can do all of those things, but really I think the most important factor is letting the victim survivor kind of drive that bus and be in, kind of take some of that power back for themselves.
Absolutely. Haley, listening to this is just it really warms our heart that we're able to amplify this message.
Absolutely. I think we just have about a little over a minute left. Rachel, can you please tell our listeners how to reach out to Strong Hearts?
Yes. Let me pull up, because I don't know it. It's crazy that I should know this by heart. But you can call or text us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 1-844-7-NATIVE. That's 1-844-762-8483. Or you can chat to us online at our website, www.strongheartshelpline.org. Again, 24 hours, 7 days a week. Reach out to us, or like I said, you can follow us on social media. We're Strong Hearts DV on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
I just love the fact that somebody at any time, 24 hours a day, can get on the chat and start chatting away and be anonymous. And that's a beautiful thing, because not all abuse happens 9 to 5, and it's great. And I appreciate to have you on again, Rachel, and the great work that Strong Hearts Native Helpline's doing and have been doing and will be continue to be doing.
Yes, thank you so much for having me, and of course, you know, providing this opportunity for us to talk about domestic violence and raise that awareness and talk about Strong Hearts and how people can reach out to us. I appreciate it very much.
Right on. Big Peeny Gigi, thank you. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plunee Coops, the ground on which we stand on, it's sacred ground. It's the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, vote. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
And free Leonard Peltier now.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I'll be talking with Bill Carroll, president of Teamsters Local 344, representing 15,000 Wisconsin workers, about their endorsement of the Harris-Walz ticket.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. People around the world marking almost 1 year since Hamas attacked Israel. Events this weekend throughout the country. In New York, Peter Rabinowitz wearing a necklace given to him.